We're talking today with Garrett Yerrigan. Garrett is the star finalist in agribusiness representing the state of Oklahoma here for the 2016 National FFA Convention. Garrett, let's talk a little bit about your agribusiness. You've got this thing going pretty well in the area of rodeo. Tell me about that.
That's exactly right. Rodeo announcing and a little bit of music on the side of things. But since graduating high school, the announcing side has flourished tremendously and very, very blessed to be where I'm at today. And yeah, about 40 to 45 weekends a year, I'm on the road all over the U.S., Canada, Australia, bringing the great sport of rodeo and bull riding to fans all around the world.
What got you started?
Oh, goodness. Great question. Well, it wasn't my mom and dad. They were both competitors in rodeo, and that was never really something that just caught my eye, but the announcer always was. And to see a guy stand up there and for 2 hours just, you know, control a crowd's emotions and take them through the highs and lows of our sport was just that was what caught me. And so I set goals to make it happen, and I stand here today, 10 years into my career and have never looked back.
As you got started, What you know really got you rolling? In other words, how did you accomplish those early steps to make this thing a reality?
Oh, I mean, there's a lot of trial and error kind of thing, but you just gotta. Sadly, like other things, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And, I just had a lot of connections with rodeo producers and stock contractors and different things that I'd got to know, going with my parents to rodeos. And a guy named Kevin Hampton gave me my first break when I was 12, and I've never looked back. And just little doors opening each and every day have got me to where I am today.
Today, tell me about a typical weekend.
Oh, a typical weekend for most people is my work week. I usually either jump in the truck or catch an airplane on a Wednesday or Thursday, and I'll fly or drive to who knows where that week and do a rodeo, Friday, Saturday, usually sometimes a Thursday or a Sunday. And then back home Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is kind of my weekend, and that's when I get to catch up on laundry and a little bit of office work. But from about mid-May to mid-August, I may, get in a truck and go off on a run and not see home for 2 or 3 months at a time. So you really got to be able to balance everything when you're on the road also.
What have you learned to help you really connect with the audience to be able to do that communication?
Oh, I think what helps, especially myself, and I know a lot of guys in my profession are like this too, but we are nothing more than overpaid fans of the sport. we stand up there for 2.5 hours, and like I said, we take everybody through the highs and lows. But when it comes down to it, I'm just the biggest fan in the world that they give a microphone to and say, here, tell us about it. And so I think being a fan, just like the people that pay a ticket and come sit in the grandstand, I think that helps me relate because I know what people are wanting to know. I know, what they're looking at and wondering why that's happening or why this happens. And I think you just have to build those relationships and know your audience. That's the biggest thing. You got to know what kind of market you're going into, what kind of demographic, and you have to know whether they're, educated rodeo fans that see it every week, like here in Oklahoma, or if they are, people that get it one time a year, like they do in downtown New York City and Madison Square Garden. So you really have to know, how much explaining you need to do to make these people even more of a fan than they were when they showed up.
What's been maybe the most awesome moment?
Oh, that is tough. There's been so many. I don't know, getting the call from the professional bull riders to go to Australia, not once, but now 3 times, that's pretty amazing. Being the youngest announcer to ever do the International Finals Rodeo in Oklahoma City, that was pretty amazing. Getting to go be a part of the PBR World Finals in Las Vegas is pretty amazing. So there's so many different things, and I'm sure I'm forgetting some, off the top of my hand here, but there's just so many amazing moments in this career for as young as I am.
Right. Your involvement with FFA, how has that helped you think?
Oh, to no end. From the first day I stepped into the FFA building as an eighth grader, I never imagined the impact that this blue and gold jacket would have on my career through the endless support from my ag teachers, pushing me to be better each and every day, to the record keeping. The SAE books have helped me see where my bottom line is, what events have been profitable, which ones not so much. The public speaking skills, for obvious reasons, to be able to get up there and fluently communicate in front of sometimes 10,000 people at a time, you have to know how to be fluent with your speech and keep people entertained for that time. And I mean, there's just so many different things that I never truly realized until I got out of high school, graduated, and then I look back on it and go, oh wow, my A teachers were right, or oh wow, I learned this from them. And I hate to admit that somebody was right, but there's many times that I've looked back and thought I would have never learned that or never harnessed that skill without those FFA advisors.
FFA has been valuable to you.
Very much so. Very much so. I can't knock it one bit. And every time I see a young person that, you know, is coming up through junior high school and looking for things to do, my first suggestion is always, you know, get in the blue and gold and be a part of it and be as involved as possible. You know, if there's an opportunity to come up to be on a leadership team or a fundraiser or an SAE or a CDE or anything like that, be a part of it, because it will be the most amazing experiences of your life.